You have entered the Radio Zone. This is Long Story Short, the Daily Bruins news and culture talk show. I'm Christiana Cabal.
And I'm Taylor Erickson. Each week, we invite guests from all walks of life to share their stories, experiences, and insights. If you want to listen to our show on the go, just go on to iTunes, click on the radio app, and we also have a podcast. Go on dailybruin.com.
So for tonight, up first, I speak with UCLA professor and researcher Dr. David Shorter. This quarter, he's teaching a GE class titled Aliens, Psychics, and Ghosts. Tonight, Shorter will share some of his own personal paranormal stories.
And then we have a stand-up comedian. His name is Asterios Kokonos. He gives us a ghostly sneak of his this new show, Bruin Up Laughs. Bruin Up Some Laughs on Tuesday in Kirchhoff Coffee House, so he's pretty funny.
And after that, we have Harry Biggle from the Writer's Den performing a live reading of his work, Mr. Goodman, following a special organ performance by music department staff Albert Gilberti.
And then, of course, lastly, in the spirit of spookiness, we just talked to a few students who have some costume ideas and share with us some plans they have for Halloween on Wednesday.
So this quarter, Dr. Shorter is teaching a class titled Aliens, Psychics, and Ghosts. As a professor and researcher in the World Arts and Culture Department, Shorter explores other than human relations, along with myths and rituals of Native people around the world. Tonight, instead of entering the classroom of Shorter, we'll get a personal tale of his paranormal encounters. So how does your course syllabus look like? What are you guys learning about exactly?
Well, we start with the idea that UFOs have been visiting the planet for quite a long time, and then we move to a discussion about whether humans are being abducted by either extraterrestrials or interdimensional beings, and that leads into a conversation about the skeptical arguments against those possibilities, and then we transition to talking about psychics and whether there is such a thing as psychic ability. And that transitions nicely to talking about ghosts and whether there's life after death and how have scientists attempted to understand those three things. And then last, at the very end of the quarter, we looked at what bridges all three of those topics.
Okay, I see. So my question is, how do you interpret if you see like a ghost or an alien or if you know a psychic's really a psychic? Are there signals for you to identify that?
Well, absolutely. I think that one of the first things that you need to recognize is that we have a way of perceiving the world that is built upon stories that we have from our family or our friends or perhaps our media, like our films and music. And so those are all lenses. And so that when you experience something in the middle of the night, perhaps that scares you, or you see a light coming from the sky and you think to yourself, what could that be? The very first thing that your brain's going to do is fill in the gaps with what you've seen before. So have you seen movies where there are ghosts? Have you seen Paranormal Activity, for example? Or have you seen films about aliens? If you have, your mind is going to fill in the gaps with what it doesn't know, with what it does. And so oftentimes your very first impression is what you've actually received from someone else. But that doesn't mean that there's not actually a ghost there or that there's not an actual unidentified flying object. It just means you have to sort of do the work to ask yourself, well, might I be perceiving that because that's what I'm expecting to see?
That makes sense. So I also read on your bio that you do research on myths and rituals of people around the world. So is there anything related to Halloween or like the Day of the Dead that you find interesting in other cultures? Or can you give us like a list of like what people celebrate during this time of year?
Absolutely. This is coming at a time where a lot of us have come to recognize that because of multiculturalism, the same holiday that is experienced or celebrated in the United States might be related to some holiday elsewhere. That's actually not the case when it comes to when we think of Dia de los Muertos or All Souls Day. There is very little historic relationship between those two holidays, Halloween and Dia de los Muertos or All Souls Day. It's come to be known that way because, of course, marketing and selling and consumerism. In reality, Dia de los Muertos and Day of the Dead were a celebration of your actual ancestors. And if we go back to indigenous cultures, oftentimes in the Americas, particularly in Mexico, we have tribal communities that celebrate their ancestors as actually coming back during that month. So for example, I work with the Yoeme people of Mexico, and one of the chapters in my book, We Will Dance Our Truth, is all about the ceremonies for the dead. And they understand that in October, the 1st of October, the gates open up from the other world. And all your relatives can come back and visit you, and the deceased visit the living. And there's all these signs that you can look at to say, okay, there's a white dog that doesn't seem to belong to anyone. That's probably your ancestor watching you. The ants that are on the ground, or bees, these sort of collective conscious animals, they are known to be ancestors inside the community. And since your ancestors are watching you, and they're not there to judge you or to scare you, but because they've come this long way to spend time with you, you want to send them off with a meal, and you want to make sure that they're sustained for their journey back to the other world. So at least in the tribe that I work with, you make this huge table. It's about 6 feet high on mesquite wood, and you put all their favorite things. If they liked soup, you put soup out. If they smoked cigarettes, you put cigarettes out. If they like beer, you put beer out, all the things that they enjoy. And it's not a make-believe, and it's not pretend. They are perceived and considered as having the ability to enjoy the items that you put out through the air around them. So we actually think perhaps like when steam leaves food when it's really hot, think of that. Think of that steam leaving the food. And those departed souls get to enjoy that. Now, compare that to what we think of as Halloween, and you've got completely two different things, which is kids running around in costumes trying to scare people.
I see. And so my last question for you is, can you share with us a personal experience with a ghostly encounter or any paranormal stories that you might have had?
Sure, I have lots of them. Let me think here. I was living in Phoenix, Arizona, and I was asked to come visit a house because I'd been studying these things for a while now. And a family was given my name to contact, and they called me at the university and asked me to come to their house. They said that they'd been experiencing something kind of odd, and I said, well, don't tell me what it is, please. Why don't you just let me show up, and I'll see if I feel anything or see anything. So I went over to her house. The daughter's name was Rachel Escondido, and they lived in South Phoenix. And I came to the door and I said, you know, I'd like for you to step outside of the house because I don't want you to tell me where to look and I don't want you to tell me any stories about this house at all. Let me just walk in by myself. And so they stood out on the porch and I went inside. And as I was walking into the front room, I noticed out of the corner of my eye a man walking down the hallway. And I thought, well, I just asked them all to leave the house. How can they, you know, why wouldn't they get their grandfather out of the house since I asked them to all leave? So I literally said down the hallway, excuse me, like, are you there? Excuse me. And I didn't get a response. And so I decided to go down the hallway. And as I turned around the corner, I saw the man's foot and leg move into the bedroom. It was as if he was trying to get away from me quickly. I was like, I can't understand this. Why is this old man getting away from me? So then I go down the hallway and I go into the bedroom, and there is this ghastly whitish figure of a man wearing a Panama Jack hat standing in the corner with white linen shirt. And I can't believe my eyes. And I'm sitting there as a trained academic, and these things aren't supposed to happen in the world, right? And here this family wanted me to come out there. And sure enough, I see something. And it's this guy standing right in the corner. And I didn't know really what to say, what to do at that moment. I knew we were confronting each other. And he was clearly looking at me. He looked like he was about 72. And he looked vaguely Latino. And it was like you could see him, but you could see through him. So I could see the picture and the lamp behind him, but he was definitely there. And I said, what do you want with this family? Is there a way that we can get you to move on to the other side where you belong? And he said very squarely, telepathically, I'm not leaving. You are. and he started walking toward me really quickly. And so I turned around as fast as I could, and I started moving down the hallway, and I felt his hands push against my back, literally pushing me down the hallway so that I almost tripped over myself. And by the time I got to the door where the family was, I was freaking out, practically in tears, because it's not that I had just sort of seen a ghost. I'd actually felt the pressure on my back. And it confounded everything I knew, that they could not only sort of appear to us, but that they could exert force on us physically. That's one of my favorite stories. I've got, you know, many more, and I often tell them inside my class. So my students will be lucky, because the next week or so, I'll definitely be filling with a bunch of ghost stories.
Oh, wow. I got scared listening to you. Well, thanks for joining me, David.
No problem. Thanks for coming.
I'm Christiana Cabal.
And I'm Taylor Erickson. This is Long Story Short. And welcome back to Long Story Short, the Daily Bruins weekly news and culture talk show. So this Halloween, y'all might be thinking about witches and warts and cackles and cauldrons. And can, I don't know, Christiana, can you cackle? No, that was a nervous. What was that? No. but we have actually earlier today, we talked to two comedians who do more than cackle. They will make you more than cackle. They will make you wet your pants. They are hilarious. So we brought on Robin Higgins, who is a second-year graduate chemistry student, as well as Asterios Kokonos. He's a comedian in the Los Angeles area. He is an editor for the Los Angeles comedy magazine called The Devastator, and they're performing in a show. It's a stand-up comedy show on Tuesday, tomorrow, in Kirkhoff Coffee House at 8 p.m., and it's called Booing Up Some Laughs. Normally they call it Brewing Up Some Laughs, but now they're doing a Halloween special. So it's Booing Up Some Laughs. And yes, they are going to put the ha in Halloween. You like that joke there?
Yeah. And the event is free too. So every friend should go.
That's important. So yeah, this is what we talked about with those two comedians.
Scary characters. Can we have a sneak preview?
Sure.
Of scary characters, or?
Nope, absolutely. This is something I've completely prepared. It's called Frankenstein, who is worried that you're not spending enough time with your friends and that you're spending too much time on World of Warcraft. Okay? Fire bad, but antisocial behavior is worse. You need to, the real raid, the real 40th level raid is friendship. You need to spend less time looking for rare loot drops and more time going to hot sock hops. Did I mention this is in the 50s, this character? No. This is an alternate timeline where World of Warcraft was invented in the 50s.
What do you guys think? At what age should people stop trick-or-treating?
Well, this is hard for me because I'm 6 feet tall and a lady. So I was told to stop trick-or-treating very early, much before anyone else was told to. I would just show up and they'd be like, is this your last year? And I'd be like, I'm only 10 or whatever. But no, it was very depressing. So I guess that's when you get too tall. That's when if you're short, you can trick-or-treat forever. As long as you wear a mask.
Danny DeVito still trick-or-treats.
Yes. Does
he? I give him full Snickers bars because his costumes are outrageous.
Another question we have is, what shouldn't people dress up as?
If you want to dress up like a sexy cat, go ahead and do it. Like, you're young, you're clearly working out. Like, this is your Christmas right now. If you are in shape to the point where you were like, I'm going to spend less time working on my papers and more time working my abs, then you got to flaunt it. If you got it, flaunt it, you know?
Then what is your favorite horror movie?
I don't like horror movies. They scare the hell out of me. I remember when I was a kid, I went to see All Dogs Go to Heaven.
That's a creepy movie.
I was scared shirtless. I took my shirt off and I used my shirt to cover my eyes. I was so scared. I remember, like, leaving that movie being like, I'm going to die one day.
favorite horror. The scariest movie I've ever seen was probably The Ring. I watched that when I was little, and I was playing. Our TV was always like right next to our computer, so I remember my parents were watching it, and I was trying to ignore that The Ring was playing. But as I'm playing my little Harry Potter, you know, like on my computer, I turn over and I just see the big like face, and she's just like, I'm like, so I was just, I'm scared of that.
Have you considered dressing up like that Ring ghost this year?
No, my hair is not long enough. But
you
when
wig.
It, yeah,
you gotta get a wig. You're gonna do
actually
it.
One year for Halloween. I mean, okay, in eighth grade, I dressed it up as a Post-it. So I had like this big like highlighter poster and it said Post-it. And so for my freshman year of high school, I was thinking like, okay, I'm gonna step up my game. I'm gonna be another school supplies. And so I thought I should be an easy button. So I had this huge red button that said easy on it. But not only that, it just said, hug me, I'm an easy button. And I thought, like, when people hug me, I can go, that was easy, like the button.
I thought it just said, hug me, I'm easy.
Yeah, that's what people thought. But in my head, it was, no, hug me, I'm an easy button. But
I can see, I think everyone in this room could see from a mile away the problem with that costume.
This was my freshman year of high school. I thought I was so cool.
No, you weren't. That was a mistake.
Another question. What is your worst fear?
Scared of, like, murderer, like, scary guy, like, rapping on your door. That's, like, probably the scariest Halloween. Yeah.
You sound like you're speaking from experience here.
No, just lots of, like, anxiety. My brain has, like, imagined that situation so many times. It feels like it's from experience, but no.
Well, if burglars come to your house, why don't you just set up some paint cans on some strings and then hit them with the paint cans?
That's a good question. The reason it's actually not winter where I live. So you see, there'd be no ice for them to then comically trip on later on. So even if they got past the paint cans.
You need that ice.
Yeah.
Have you allied yourself with like an old man who at first seems scary, but perhaps there's more there?
No, but I do have some cardboard cutouts, life size, that I was thinking of putting on train tracks just to like distract the burglars.
I like that.
I don't know. Do you think that would work?
I think that would work. I think that you definitely need to do that, and I think you also need to get some pigeon food.
Right.
And
right.
Then if they were to come at you, you know, you throw the pigeon food at them, and then pigeons harass them. Like
lead paint.
Yes, exactly. The paint is the problem. I mean, the glass is the paint is like the icing on the cake. The lead paint.
I also have another question. Was there anything else we can expect from Booing Up Some Laughs?
There are going to be some drop-ins by some monsters, some real, some fake.
We just wanted to thank you guys, Asterios Kokonos and Robin Higgins. You guys have been amazing guests.
Yeah, thanks so much for coming on our show. Thank you guys. Have a good night.
Thank you.
Ghoulish delight.
Welcome back to Long Story Short. What's Halloween without a scary story? Gather round, folks, for this haunting tale. Harry Biggle, a fourth-year English student from the Writer's Den, will be your ghostly host for this reading. Hey, Harry.
Hey, how are you?
Hi. We were wondering, can you give us some background information on what your story is about?
Sure. Well, I actually wrote this story several years ago. I guess you could say I wrote it like in the end of my first year. And I think it was originally for an assignment, but it was meant to be a character study, and it became a lot more than that. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Cool. So begin whenever you're ready.
Oh, sure. All right. Well, here we go. Mr. Goodman. Persuading someone to kill themselves is all about presentation. You have to dress the part. You know, that one convincing authenticity that grants access to the recesses of their minds. In this case, the graveyard, the death of family members, the horrible tragedy, it all screamed formality. The sharp black suit, the blood-letter tie, the stripped noir pants, and of course, the equally as dark pair of leather boots. Yes, the usual. I decided to approach her. Now that I think back on it, the weather reflected her predicament perfectly. Rain flooded down the muddy banks created in between each grave. I resisted smiling as she turned towards me. "Mr. Goodman?" she whimpered, her eyes twinkling. I immediately rested my hand upon her shoulder and said nothing. At this stage, keeping quiet was more worthwhile than any solace. Softly, I massaged her small shoulders, almost pinching them. In tears, she retreated to my chest. The roses she carried rubbed against my back. I kneeled and reached for them. She let me. "We wouldn't want to damage your last present to them, now would we, Miss Emily?" I snatched the bouquet from her hands ever so gently and laid it to peace beside the names of her parents. As I stood upwards, I managed to get a smell, a taste even, of her silken black hair. Lavender filled my nostrils. It was so delightful, intoxicating even. I held both of her shoulders then and stared deeply into her eyes. She starred back. Somehow, her young face reminded me of my dear, dead sister, round yet gaunt in some way. Those cute, pursed lips. Yes, yes, she was indeed my sister. "Miss Emily," I began. No amount of pensing memory could deter me from her fate. "You must think of the future. This world is no small place for such a small child such as you." Vacantly, she looked at me like they all did at this point, void of reason. I asked the very question she was dreading. Her biggest fear was yet to be done. It was to be alone. So I preyed on that. I needed her to think that she had no one. It was essential. After all, she was the ideal target, an easy target. In fact, it was the very reason I picked her. Not only did she look like my sister, a reminder of the duty my blood carries, but she was in the position, the situation for me to get away with murder. That's why I chose to be hired to extinguish this final heir to a great sum of wealth. Regardless of the spoils to me, to my bloodline, it was more than just money. It was the art that mattered. She stared at me, looking for salvation. I reached behind her again, sliding the syringe out of my sleeves. An eager prick of her soft skin was all it took, and with the coating of anesthetics, it was nothing short of a spider bite. She looked confused. I simply smiled, unable to contain it any longer, my face nearly hurting from release. Her eyes were dull now, submissive. "Miss Emily," I inquired. "What are you doing, Miss Emily?" She looked at me, or rather, beyond me. Her grief was amplified by the depressants. She tried to form words, but only sobs came out. My smile faded immediately. For a second there, I didn't see Miss Emily crying next to her parents' grave. I saw my sister. It was at that point that I realized I had been seeing my sister in her to begin with. Miss Emily, the way she talked, the way she saw me as a mentor, a guide. I began to question the very act that had to be done. My mind flushed with images of the past, swinging with my relative, the day we joined the family, her death. I began to wonder, did I do this for my sister in order to continue her work? A certain logic came to me then. How could I respect the family if I killed the only thing that reminded me of her? I yelled at myself, cursing under my breath, angry at my own wavering thoughts. The next part should have been easy enough. Mutter the words of pain and simplicity, then reach deep within my vest and produce the perfect weapon, the one tailored to her suicide. With the influence clouding her very judgment, she would take her own life, like so many before. But what perplexed me most was not her action, but mine. You see, there was another way, a way for my business compatriots not only be happy, but for her to live. Life at time, life at the time seemed so futile, so worthless to me. But when I looked at her, after taking so many, I could only feel pity. Ironic, hilarious pity. The killer saves his victim on a mere whim. The thought streamed across my mind. You can come with me, Emily. I can give you a new life. A life without loneliness or sadness. She looked towards the rain as I picked her up between my arms and carried the newest member of my own family.
Wow, thank you so much, Harry, for sharing that tale with us.
No problem. Hopefully it was unnerving enough.
I'm shivering.
You have a great voice. Thank you so much for coming on our show.
Sure, sure. Anytime.
Up next, we have an organ player, Adam Gilberti, playing us a terrifying tune. Adam Gilberti is what you may call keeper of the keys of the UCLA's Music, Musicology, and Ethnomusicology Department. He's the go-to guy for maintaining and repairing instruments at the Schoenberg Music Building. Tonight, as a musician who plays 8 instruments, Gilberti will play the organ for us. It is one of the 2 organs on campus and was made in 1981, especially for Schoenberg Music Building. The other organ is located in Royce Hall and is 109 times larger than it. Gilberti will begin the piece with J.S. Bach's famous Toccato and Fugue in D minor and will branch off with his own improvisations from there.
Welcome back to Long Story Short, the Daily Bruins Weekly News and Culture Talk Show. So we can't get enough of this Halloween stuff today. We also talked to a few students who are sharing some of their plans that they have for this Halloween involving, you know, just what costumes they've designed or what they're going to dress up as and their plans to party, I guess. I don't know. So here they are.
Yekaterina Belikov, second year, Russian Studies and Global Studies major. Last night, I was Kitty Cat, because my name is Cat, and then on Halloween night, I will be a pirate. So I will be partying Saturday night. I probably won't be going out until Halloween again, but then Thursday, there's probably going to be more Halloween parties, and then next weekend, there's probably going to be more Halloween parties.
My name is Kevin Nguyen. I am a biology major. I will be studying, although I do kind of want to watch The Dark Knight Rises down in Ackerman.
If you could dress up for Halloween and you didn't have midterms, what would you dress up as and why?
Realistically, I would dress up as Hannibal Lecter because I have a straitjacket and a mask at home, although I have to find them.
Haley Iwig, I'm a second-year psychology major. I'm dressing up as Sookie from True Blood. Well, she works at a bar called Merlot's, so my friend and I got aprons, and we're gonna wear, like, waitress outfits, basically.
What has been the silliest costume that you've dressed up as?
I dressed up as a girl who got struck by lightning one year. I got jeans from the thrift store and a white shirt, and I just cut a bunch of holes in it and put black, like, char smoke all over it. I teased my hair and, like, painted black all over my face.
This has been Long Story Short, the Daily Bruin's weekly news and culture talk show on UCLAradio.com. If you want to hear the show on the go, download our radio podcast. You can also check us out on Daily Bruin Radio Facebook page, on Twitter, and on Tumblr at dailybruinradio.tumblr.com.
And a special thanks to all of our guests. There's a long list here. I'm going to list them all out for you right now. Professor David Shorter, Asterios Kokonos, Robin Higgins, Harry Biggle, Adam Gilberti, Haley Iwig, Kevin Nguyen, and Kat Belikov. And thanks to our lovely director, Emily Chu, and our broadcast producer, Bianca Brosis, our sound engineer, Hannah Jacobs, and also our stand-in producer, Devin Kelly.
For your sports fix, listen to Out of Bounds by Daily Bruin Sports with Tyler Drohan, Sam Strong, and Gabriel Bassane. That's coming up next on Daily Bruin Radio. You have been listening to Long Story Short, the Daily Bruin's weekly news and culture talk show. That's the long and the short of it. I'm Christiana Cabal.
And I'm Taylor Erickson. Boo! Have a spectacular evening, everyone.